Welcome to today's episode. Today we have with us renowned speaker Sarah Odell, who is sharing with us from her Legacy Lessons, a Life Well Lived series. Today we will hear part two, Able versus Available. So let's listen in and see what Sarah has to say. The best way to leave a legacy is to follow God's will and speak into the lives around you as He guides. Do the things He calls you to do. We don't have to be great or talented or smart or even super spiritual. We just have to be listening and willing to follow. I like how 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 27 puts it. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I don't know about you, but sometimes I know I sure feel foolish and weak. And that's what God can work with. God's will and ways don't always make sense to us, but they always make sense to God. God does not call the gifted, He gifts those He calls. Look at Moses, for example. In Exodus 3, it talks about the burning bush experience. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." There's a couple of things to look at here. Moses was busy in the field, lots of things to do and watch out for. It could have been easy to keep doing what he was doing, but he noticed something. Rather than just brushing it aside, he took the time to turn aside and look. And when God saw that Moses put his agenda aside and was willing to look into the things of God, he called Moses by name. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And Moses agreed and said, "Here I am." Well, at least initially. The one thing I love about the story of Moses is how human he really is. Later in Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." God will equip us. If it is His plan, don't you think He has a way of working it out? We need to trust Him and let Him work out His plan in us. Don't let our answer be like Moses. But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Remember, He can use even the weak and foolish things. We may not be faced with a burning bush or with the voice of God telling us what to do, but we do have His calling on our lives. Unfortunately, too many times we are too busy to take the initial step of turning aside and listening. We may not question if we are able to work for God, but simply relent that we are not available. We are just too busy. God does not call the able, He uses the available. I heard it said that you are only as busy as you want to be. At first I laughed at such a simplistic view, but the more I thought about it and let it sink into my life, the truer I found it to really be. Why did I sign up to teach that class or volunteer for that group? Do I really want to do it, or do I just feel like I have to? You must learn the power of saying no. Trust me, the world will not end and all your friends will not leave you just because you turned down one request. The only one in control of how you spend your time is ultimately you. Even being busy with church stuff can be a sin if it's keeping you from what you really should be doing. The Message sums up Isaiah 58:1 through 3 this way. "Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. They are busy, busy, busy at worship and love studying all about me. To all appearances, they are a nation of right-loving people, law-abiding, God-honoring. But God is not interested in appearances. He looks at the heart." He goes on to say in verses 6 through 9, What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on and your lives will turn around at once. The God of glory will secure your passage. What an amazing promise and an eye-opening challenge. The subtle danger involved in our busyness is that most of us never realize that in most cases we can do something about it. So submit to God, free yourselves, and see where He takes you. Rather than just giving a little bit to lots of different things, seek out God's heart and focus entirely on that. But how do we know God's heart? Well, first of all, we have to quiet ourselves enough to actually listen. In Isaiah 30:15, it says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." I know when I first read that verse, I thought, oh great, I am not quiet and I really don't rest. But I found hope in Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." So it's not about me. I just need to pray to God and He will work that quietness into my soul. Remember, after all, this battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." That's such a key verse to remember. When we are trying to do things for God, remember, God doesn't need us to do anything for Him. He is, after all, the Almighty. He just needs us to be soft and willing to do things with Him. In 1 Kings 19, we read the story of Elijah. He had just fought a major battle, showed the nation of Israel that the Lord was the only true God, but he also had to flee for his own life. In the bottom of despair, he called out to God, saying, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." While we may have not ever called to God to take our lives, I'm sure we've all had days when we've cried out, "I have had enough, Lord." But what does God do? He sends an angel to remind Elijah to rest and eat, and then he goes to the mountain of God to see God's presence. He is told to go outside the cave and God will pass by. Verse 11, "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." That is the still small voice of God we must listen to. I know sometimes my days certainly feel like a powerful wind, a strong earthquake, or a great fire has just passed me by. At the end of the day, I'm left standing in the aftermath thinking, "What happened here, God?" But you know what happened? I got too caught up in the whirlwind that I didn't listen to that gentle whisper. We must listen, and we must be flexible. Don't hold on to our ideas, our goals, our plans too tightly. We must be able to drop what we're doing and do what He calls us to. He knows better and will be more successful at it in the long run. What does this all mean? What are we to do? What does God want anyway? The answer lies in Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. Just act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with Him. Let that be our guiding principle, not guilt over doing everything everyone asks, and our lives will be more peaceful and more powerful. Just be available. Well, that's all we have for today, but please stay tuned and enjoy listening to the rest of the series. Check back often for new episodes. Thanks, and have a great day.